Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jugs from the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw out some and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water, that it had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Whoever serves the good wine first and then inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the season called Epiphany. Good job. And the word Epiphany literally means manifestation or showing, sort of like when you pull the curtain back and you see the scene in a play for the first time. Or when you lift the veil of a bride to see her face. Or when the fabric of space-time is torn and you can see a glimpse of God. In the season of Epiphany, we have showings of the incarnation of God, revealing the divine to us, letting God's light shine through a tear in the fabric or an opening of the curtain, so that we can see. God has to titrate the divine self in a way, because we can't see all of God, even like Moses couldn't look at God, but we can catch glimpses, showings of the incarnation. So the first Sunday of these showings was last Sunday, and we saw a glimpse of God through the baptism of Jesus. And today we see another manifestation of God in a miracle when Jesus turns water into wine at a wedding. Now, what's fascinating to me about this second showing is that it's totally spontaneous. I mean, you would think that the Son of God would have had a strategic plan for how to unveil himself to us, right? You would think that he might have at least had the first few steps arranged or planned, but no. In the Gospel of John, the first miracle happens because Jesus' mom bugs him. And the first miracle doesn't happen to answer some starvation issue or to heal sick people. It happens to make a party better. It happens on the spur of the moment, out of a relationship between a son and his mother that is not just loving. It is a little bit contentious. You see, Jesus' relationship with his mother in all of the Gospels is rather complex. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' mother seems wholly dedicated to just bringing him home. In fact, in Mark, Mary accuses Jesus of having an unclean spirit, having a demon. She says, "You are acting really weird. Come back home. Stop all this nonsense." So in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Mary seems to want her son to just come back home and be safe. You know, like a good Jewish mother would. But in John, Mary seems to be doing the very opposite. In fact, in this miracle, it's Jesus' mother who activates his ministry, who tells him, "It's time to get going now, son." Who pushes him out of the nest in a way. It's his mother who wants him to get started. Not only is she not calling him home to protect him, she is shoving him out into the world to begin his ministry. And Jesus is resisting it. So Jesus is at a wedding with his disciples. He already has some followers, so he's been teaching. And his mother. Well, that must have been a little bit uncomfortable to be at a big party with your mother and your disciples. And then I love the scene. Mary, she doesn't say very much at all. You could imagine she looks at him the way a mother can look at her child, adult child, and give them a look. Can your mothers give you a look, or did they? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So Mary looks at Jesus, and all she says is, "They have no wine." That's all she says, and Jesus, he really reacts. He knows what she's asking of him. "Woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Well, it sounds more rude than it really was. If we called our mothers woman today, boy, I don't know. But back then, actually, woman was a normal turn of phrase to address a woman. The word was gine, and it's an incredible word. It means literally life bearer, like walking womb. People addressed women in that way because they weren't fully human. They were valued for their birthing capacity. So that's what you said. "Hey, woman, you who can have babies, that's what you're good at." Jesus also calls the woman at the well woman. And that was just standard. So he wasn't insulting his mother. He was just saying, "Woman," maybe putting her in place a little bit. "What are you doing to me? It's not time yet. Leave me alone. How do you know it's time? What are you doing? I'm having a good time. This can't be the right moment." And then the best part is, she's such the mother. She doesn't argue with him. She just tells the servants to go do whatever he says, because she knows he's going to do what she asked him to do. He can yell or fuss all he wants, but he's going to do what his mother says. So she instructs the servants, and the water is changed into wine, revealing the first miracle in the gospel. The first miracle happened because she bugged him and shoved him and nudged him and wouldn't stop annoying him until he did it. How strange is that, that God's revelation could come out of an annoying relationship? In the late 1870s, there was a man living in Paris by the name of Stéphane Tarnier, and he was an obstetrician. He delivered babies. He worked in one of the poorest hospitals in Paris, where women who didn't have much were having babies. And of course, many of the babies back then died. In fact, 66% of underweight infants died within the first 3 days. Now, most doctors would have just done their job, or they might have moved to a different hospital with wealthier, better fed women. But Tarnier started establishing relationships with these women. And he saw them when they begged him, when they begged him to help their babies survive. And it bothered him. It got under his skin. The looks on their faces, the tears, the agony. And so one day he left the hospital just struggling, and he started walking through the zoo, which was nearby, and he happened upon some chickens. And he saw that at the zoo they keep the eggs in these little warm boxes. They heat them. And an idea came to him. An inspiration. In spiritus, right? Inspiration. And he thought, well, why aren't we keeping our babies warm? And out of his struggle and out of his annoyance and out of his desperation with these women came this idea called the incubator. And within a year at that hospital, the infant mortality rate among low-weight babies went from 66% to 37%, just because they were keeping them warm. But you could say God or the Holy Spirit inspired him, partially because he was so darn bothered by the whole thing. Partially because the faces of these mothers, they wouldn't leave him alone. It was as if God was shoving him in his discomfort into a new revelation. When I was in college, I went to Russia with a group of students, but I lived with a family, and I wanted to research the Eastern Orthodox worship. That was my goal. I had minored in Russian. But the problem was that most of the priests didn't want to talk to a woman, let alone a young woman and a foreigner at the same time. So I was shy. I had a hard time. I found a good church with a priest who seemed really nice, but I would go to worship day after day and not dare to talk to him. I was scared. One day I brought one of my friends with me. We went to the worship, and afterwards I was standing around too shy to talk to the priest, and my friend got behind me and he literally shoved me towards the priest. He pushed me. And I'll never forget how mad it made me. Stop that! What are you doing? I'm going to do it in my own time. What? Stop! That's so insulting. It embarrassed me. It made me angry. But I walked up to the priest and I talked to him. And that relationship with that priest was one of the most important relationships of my young adult life. And I don't know if it would have happened if my friend hadn't literally shoved me. Like Stéphane Tarnier was shoved by those women in desperation. Like Jesus was shoved by his mother. They have no wine. The theme of this year at the cathedral is courageous relationships. I want you to think about someone that bugs you. Someone that really rubs you the wrong way. Most of the time, we want to get away from people like that. But could it be possible that God may be trying to teach you something in that relationship? Could it be, maybe, that God actually works powerfully through the challenging relationships? We tend to think of love as being supportive and kind and peaceful, right? But is love always peaceful? Does love want you to stay stagnant and comfortable in this troubled world that needs your gifts so greatly? Might love also from time to time give you a shove, annoy you, confront you, challenge you, push you? Sometimes our greatest teachers are the people that really drive us crazy and get under our skin, because there's something about them that pushes our buttons. And in that interaction, we're being called to change, to grow, to become more of the person that God has called us to be. Amazing that the revelation of God came out of a difficult relationship. A relationship of love, but a relationship with some conflict. Look at your own life and ask yourself, what is God trying to show me today? Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember how the light of a star revealed the light of the world. May God be our light in all times and places. Let us pray together to the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls, saying, Christ, be our light. For the world, that all the nations of the earth may come to honor and respect one another, we pray especially for the people of the Middle East, Europe, and Indonesia. May we all come to know the peace of God. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For the suffering, the hungry, and the sick, the refugee and the prisoner, those who grieve and those who are alone, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends, and all those we love, for all those we encounter in our daily life and work, for those estranged from us, for those who hate us, and for those who feel unloved. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For the earth, that we may use its resources wisely and be thankful for the gift of all creation. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For those who have died, both known and unknown to us, may they receive the joys of heaven. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Margaret Lines, Jerry Wayne Hall. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
We give thanks for the life and witness of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We pray that we may strive to love one another with kindness, equity, and compassion. So long as there is still injustice, racism, and inequality in this country, we have not honored Dr. King's memory. Grant, Almighty God, that we may resist all oppression in the name of your love, and may secure for all your children the blessed liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gracious and loving God, shove us, push us, agitate us, open us and inspire us not to run away from those moments to our comfort, but towards you and to all that we were created to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great to see you this morning. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to keep it up so they can find you. I'm so glad all of you are here today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Pledge envelopes for 2016 are out in the hallway, this hallway going into Tolliver Hall. If you haven't yet picked yours up, it's there waiting for you. If it's not waiting for you, call the office and we'll make sure we have some for you. We have some new adult education offerings, including a Sunday morning class beginning today through January 31st, Theology 101. See your bulletin for details. Father John is a wonderful teacher, and I hope that some of you will join him for that class. Next Sunday, Age Well Workshop will be after church, a free lunch with a workshop called Must Have Legal Documents. So all of you, no matter what your age, must have a few documents in place just in case you were to die, to provide for the people you love. Again, we're shoving you to think about this stuff. I know it's hard. But if you'd like to learn more and to make sure you've got your must-have documents right, come to the luncheon right after church, and they will help you. For those of you who have done the Curcio weekend, there is an Ultrea, which is a reunion gathering on Sunday the 31st at 5 o'clock. Also on Sunday the 31st is our annual meeting. Once a year we have a meeting here at the cathedral. It lasts just about an hour. I really try to keep it at an hour. You have a free lunch, you get to see a slideshow of wonderful pictures of the year, and most importantly, we elect our leadership. So I hope you will come and vote if you're interested in who is running for vestry and diocesan convention. There are booklets in the back of the church that you can pick up. And next week, after church, we're going to have a coffee hour where you can meet some of these candidates, so you'll have a informed vote, because I know a lot of you don't know each other. You may not know everyone who runs, especially if they go to the 8 o'clock and you go to the 11 o'clock, right? So hopefully next Sunday some of you will get to know each other. And last but not least, I am thrilled to say that you all can turn around and look at the wall behind the baptismal font. Can anyone tell what happened to that wall? There's no bricks! Hallelujah! We had a really high goal this year, and we have about 44 new pledging families, so we've been able to tear the wall entirely down, and I'm very grateful to all of you. Thank you. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is blessed to give than to receive."
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy God, send us anywhere you would have us go, only go there with us. Place upon us any burden you desire, only stand by us to sustain us. Break any tie that binds us, except the tie that binds us to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.